I'm Liana Hosier. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. And for this week's assignment, I'm in Malaysia, a global hub for plastic waste imports and recycling. But how clean and safe is the trade? And how much plastic can actually be recycled?
If you want to take a photo, you can take a photo. But now use your eyes to check first. Any worker surrounding. Okay, I saw one worker.
I'm on a surveillance mission of plastic recycling factories in an industrial area of Selangor in Malaysia with Pua Le Peng. So we need to keep a low profile.
There's a CCTV. You need to know how to avoid them.
Do I need to lower my microphones?
Yes, of course. Now
we need Pua is a petite, softly spoken woman in her early 50s, but don't let that deceive you. She's a force to be reckoned with and is nicknamed the Erin Brockovich of Malaysia. Brockovich being the American environmental activist who successfully sued a utility company and was the subject of an Oscar-winning Hollywood film in the year 2000, starring Julia Roberts. Puar is trying to stem the tide of foreign plastic waste sent here, supposedly all for recycling, but the government has had to return tons of non-recyclable waste back to their countries of origin, including France, the UK, the USA and others. But the illegal waste just keeps coming.
So the problem is since China announced they will ban waste import. Since then, we are attacked by the import waste from developed countries like Europe, UK, American and Australia and Korea, Japan. Yes. And we found a lot of non-recyclable plastic waste being sent to Malaysia, I believe by smuggling. That means that we become the dumping site of the world. And it causes terrible air pollution because those waste will be illegally burned in some rural area like my community. So since then, we stood up and we start to fight against them.
So you have managed to close... Yeah. Hundreds of factories.
Yes, yes, yes. Because of our activities. We force the government to take action. Okay, something coming. Okay, you see this.
It turns out that plastic recycling is not as easy or as viable a solution as you might think. Only 9% of the world's plastic is recycled because it's not possible, not profitable, or too hazardous to recycle more. This is why most plastic waste ends up in landfill or dumped in nature. So it's inevitable this will happen to a sizable amount of plastic exports.
And then you feel the smell. Terrible?
Oh, yeah. Really chemical smell.
Yeah, it's all toxic.
All that looks like e-waste.
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt. There's a 99 spin mark, isn't there?
Yeah, joining us in the car is Puyi.
Hi, my name is Puyi. I am a researcher slash campaigner slash activist. So let me just share with you the problems that we see very easily on the ground. Since 2018, 2019, more and more illegal operators, the government has done quite a lot to keep closing these factories down, but they keep popping up again. Number two, on the ground, we keep seeing dump sites, imported plastic being dumped and burnt as well. It's clearly overburdening our system and we are running out of space. A lot of our landfills are at 80% capacity. And number two, a lot of our landfills are just open dumps. They are not sanitary landfills.
Yeah, and Malaysia is not a huge country. It's a relatively small island. But in the global ranking, are they one of the biggest importers of foreign plastic waste?
We are the top importer of foreign plastic waste, unfortunately, in the world.
Who are the biggest exporters?
So the top exporters of plastic waste in 2023, according to United Nations trade data, were Germany, Japan, Netherlands, followed by the United States. And in Malaysia, we are especially concerned about Japan because Japan is the top exporter of plastic waste to Malaysia.
We're just jumping out of the car now to look through the plastic to find out if it's been smuggled here illegally and from which countries.
Canadian.
So So basically, we found food packaging, and so that's, what does that mean to you?
Based on our investigation, the import waste actually contain non-recyclable plastic, which is illegal. Now you think that you have a very good waste management system. It's a lie. You are not recycling the waste. Actually, you are dumping the toxic to other people.
Because only 9% of plastic globally is recycled, isn't it? I mean, that's such a small percentage.
Your waste is not welcome. I saw your food packaging. I saw your baby's diaper appear in Malaysia. How come this can happen to us?
And this is obviously really upsetting for you.
Very upsetting, because I think developed country take advantages that waste can export. It's hypocrite because you are so emphasized on environment protection. You are so emphasized that your right should be protected. But how come our right not protected, and you think that your waste come to our country for so many years, you still feel nothing wrong about that? You should feel shame of it.
After bagging up the illegal waste, we take a break for lunch, and I find out Puah has received death threats because of her work. Gangsters here throw red paint to send a message to their intended victims.
The factory sent people to spray paint to warn me. They went to my house, they saw my sister. They thought my sister was me. So they just pour a bucket of red paint on her, like this, directly to...
On her head.
You gangster or what? They want to threaten you, they mean they want to kill me. If you continue again, I'll kill you. It's something like that.
And what did your sister say? What did she do? She must have been terrified.
Terrified, but she told me, said, don't be scared. My friend, my family, they all support me, yeah.
But did it make you think twice about what you're doing?
I never think twice because I know if I are scared, they will use the same thing to threaten others, people like me. I will not allow this to happen. So I clearly show them, I will continue. We are here to fight. We won't wait to die.
I come to the village of Sungai Sedang, and it's beautiful in this rural landscape of palm trees. There's palm oil plantations, banana trees. People have planted flowers outside their bungalows. It kind of seems idyllic. But the problem is, when you breathe the air in, it smells chemically industrial, like burning plastic.
I've got this sickness from inhaling the smoke from the burning of plastics, cables, rubber, tyres.
Miss Han is in his early 60s and he's lived in this village all his life, working the palm oil plantations that surround it. But in the last decade or so, plastic recycling factories have sprung up around it, and with them, plastic waste dumps that are periodically set on fire.
The smoke makes me cough and suffocate.
Because I can see you've got inhalers and various sorts of tablets. I mean, you just had to inhale there as well.
This pump, many pump, four pump.
You've got four different inhalers.
Inhalers.
My health has been worsening, therefore I need to use all these inhalers. When I inhale the smoke from the burning plastic or cables, I suddenly collapse. I've been in and out of hospital 5 times just this year in the intensive care unit. I've been suffering for about 3 years, but this open burning's been going on for many years. We used to have a protest at the burning site. The state government and politicians did come down to see us, but there's no end to this problem.
People don't know the truth.
That's Miss Han's son, Asraf, who at just 30 years old has serious health problems of his own, which he also blames on the pollution here.
They diagnosed me lymphoma stage 2, blood cancer. I got a lump, you can see here.
Yeah, you have a scar along your neck.
Yeah. Okay. I want people care about the plastic burning that will affect your child, your parents, when they are getting older.
There's a lot of research going on into the effects of plastic recycling on human health. A new study by the University of Putra, Malaysia, has found that air pollution is 30% worse within 6 kilometres of plastic recycling factories, and a third of the people living within that area have reported increased health symptoms. The university has found high levels of particles of pollution called PM2.5, which are inhaled into the lungs. Dr. Sharifa Ismail is the lead researcher.
We found significant relationships between those who live near to the factory with some kind of health symptoms, for example, like respiratory problems.
I asked Dr. Sharifa if the health problems Ms. Hana and his son Asraf are suffering could be from living near recycling factories and burning plastic dumps.
Definitely, yeah. Because what happened was when you burn the plastics waste, it produced these hazardous gases. Some of the gases are very toxic to those vulnerable groups, elderly, pregnant ladies, and also children. So the process of the burnings is really risky.
What about lymphoma? Is that linked at all to plastic burning?
Directly, it's not, but indirectly, it's maybe. Because as we can see, most of the chemicals will end up in our body. It will disrupt some of the systems in our body, like hormones can give wrong signals to the cells and it starts to be haywire and, you know, produce another disease and disease. So indirectly, it can be.
This is assignment on the BBC World Service. I'm Liana Hosea on assignment in Malaysia. Hi, Emily.
You arrived.
Yes. I've come to meet Emily Tan, a land agent who has over the years helped a lot of recycling factories to open in Klang, a district west of Kuala Lumpur.
So my job is introduce land or factory for doing the recycled plastic.
So how many years did you do that for?
I think 10 years, yeah. Selling land, rent a factory.
But you stopped? Why?
Why I'm stuck? Because I see something is very wrong. You see the air pollution, the water pollution, you know. Now it's getting worse. The air is polluted.
Emily's still a land agent, but she won't work for the recycling business anymore. Instead, she's become, as she puts it, a spy, using her connections to enter recycling plants and look for any violations. She's allowing me to tag along. So I'm walking around the yard of this recycling factory. I'm trying to see where all the plastic is coming from. They seem to come from all over. Jordanian Electrical Power Company.
Is it come from England as well?
Oh, this is English too. The Chinese factory manager has come over, so I ask him if he gets a lot of foreign plastic that he can't recycle.
According to the Basel Convention, if it's mixed with metals, circuit boards or other components, it can't be exported unless it's treated. But in reality, some still get exported. Customs won't help you identify it. So they often sneak it in, maybe 1 out of 10 shipments. Now, ports like Hamburg in Germany and those in Rotterdam can't export these plastics, so almost all of the EU's waste goes to Poland, Slovenia or Eastern European countries before it's exported.
So the Basel Convention is an international treaty to reduce movement of hazardous waste between nations, and it applies to certain types of plastics. But the European Commission estimates that up to 30% of waste shipments from the EU are illegal, and this factory manager says a lot of smuggling is via Eastern Europe. I ask him if he'd take illegal waste for extra money.
No, we don't do that here, because you still have to pay someone to take it away.
Now I'm going into the recycling factory itself, a large warehouse lined with bales of plastic. This factory is similar to the other four I visited with Emily today. It's dirty, it's hot, and it smells really strongly of chemicals. As the plastics melt, the thousands of chemicals they contain get released, some of which are toxic to human health. The workers are just wearing T-shirts and flip-flops, and they've no protection at all against the fumes or heat from the furnaces that they're shoveling plastic into. It's a really miserable place to work. And I can't believe that when I put my plastic into the recycling bin in my home in London, I thought I was doing the clean and environmentally safe thing. So Emily and I are driving from the industrial district to the next area, which is basically where they dump plastic.
Sometimes I cry, sometimes I'm angry, but I have to live to be strong. The microplastic here, you see so many? Do you see that?
Yeah, is this the main dump here?
No.
Oh, right, okay.
Not yet.
I want to put a mask.
So you put your mask on?
Yes.
Is that because there's a lot of fumes?
Yes.
Oh, it does smell really bad.
Yeah.
I'm walking up this mountain of microplastic underneath me. It's kind of bouncy. The ground is just multicoloured. Tiny bits of yellow, blue, green, red plastic. And I'm level with the tops of the palm oil trees. So it must be about 15 metres high. And it absolutely stinks. Parts of it are on fire, letting off noxious smelling smoke. And this is what communities are really worried about.
Now you can see, Lina, you can see the glove.
Ah, yes.
Huh? Right.
Lots of blue rubber gloves.
Yeah.
So we don't know how many of these huge microplastic dumps there are here in Malaysia, but...
I think a lot.
We should probably go because it does smell really toxic.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the safety of the car.
How wet, isn't it? You need some water.
It's an assault on the nose.
Oh, you understand, but...
Burning plastic. As far as the eyes can see, it's just horrible.
Just to step away from Malaysia for a moment, I want to talk to Hans Arp, a professor of environmental chemistry at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology, who's an expert on plastics.
There's a lot of chemicals in plastic. We identified over 16,000, and amongst these, there was 4,200 elicit some form of hazardous properties, can cause endocrine disrupting effects, which can affect the way people grow, their growth, how fertile they are, and carcinogenic effects.
So you watched the videos I sent to you from inside and around numerous recycling factories in Malaysia. Was there anything that concerned you about the plastic waste?
I think for these hazardous plastics, like the type that you've seen in Malaysia, these cannot be recycled. They should, I would say, be incinerated safely and removed to control the chemical risk.
Can plastic get more toxic as they get recycled?
In general, yes. I mean, it certainly does not get safer when you recycle it. Plastic can also become more toxic just because it will be exposed to more chemicals and pollutants when we recycle it. And the plastic itself will degrade. And some of these degradation products can themselves be toxic. Even food packaging materials can contain some of these hazardous additives. So even before recycling, plastic can be toxic.
Of course, you could see a lot of the workers in the videos, they weren't wearing any protective clothing. Could they have been exposed from what you saw?
Oh, these workers were most definitely exposed. They would be having a disproportionately high exposure to plastic chemicals. And they could be exposed from dust or vapors coming from the plastic or from direct skin contact. So I was quite surprised they weren't wearing at least a mask to prevent inhalation of the plastic dust. They should have been wearing gloves, in my opinion.
It's 8 o'clock at night and it's dark and I'm in an industrial area of Klang. I've actually been trying all day to
interview some of the recycling factory workers. So at this plastic recycling factory, they're living in an abandoned, broken down, dilapidated building opposite the factory, which was never meant to be lived in accommodation. It looks more like a storehouse. But a lot of the other migrant workers are living within the plastic factories themselves, so we can't even reach them to ask them for an interview. The answer still no. The answer still no. Yeah. So unfortunately, the workers won't talk to me. Their boss has already warned them, apparently, not to talk to anybody if anybody comes round and asks questions.
So where are we, Puyon?
This is the interfoil of the river water. Along the river bend is a lot of pollution dumped into this river.
Plastic recycling is promoted as an environmentally safe solution to plastic waste. But I want to probe this further. So I'm going to test the wastewater coming from recycling factories that flow into the rivers here for some of those toxic chemicals that Professor Hans Arp talked about. And Pua Le Peng has agreed to help me.
We're coming up to the last recycling factory that we're going to take water samples from. So what will happen with the discharge pipe is they're going to be washing the plastic and then they're going to be getting rid of that water. And so that's what we want to test. So I'm not going to be on the big microphones because we're right outside the recycling plant. We just don't want anyone to see anything too obvious.
Pua has seen someone from the factory coming towards us, and even though we're not doing anything wrong, we're on public land, they're not going to be happy about us taking samples from their waste pipe.
Yes, we have to leave now. Okay, we'll leave now. Yes.
In the samples that you got, the most interesting part is this bisphenol A.
Bisphenol A is... a carcinogenic chemical which is commonly used in plastics.
Definitely.
I took the water samples we collected to show Dr. Sharifa from the University of Putra, Malaysia.
The safe limits in the water in Malaysian's standard is 10 micrograms per litre. Here we found 11.2 micrograms per litre.
And that's coming out of the factory discharge, yes. And that goes straight into a ditch which joins the river.
Yes. It's not just become problems to human. It also can affect the aquatic systems in the river water. It can end up in the fish, and then it can end up in our food chain. And then, of course, definitely it will end up to human as well.
Because plastic production is set to grow exponentially in the next decade or so, what are your thoughts about what's going to happen here in Malaysia to the environment and to people's health?
If we not manage it properly, it will definitely cause effects to the environment as well as to the human health of people in this country. Plastic is not sustainable for the environment, of course. Recycle is not going to solve the problems, yeah? However, if we can reduce the usage of the plastics, that would be better.
The other side to this is that Malaysia is a major manufacturer of plastic and the industry is a key pillar of the economy. I wanted to talk to someone in the government about what I've discovered. Nik Nazmi bin Nik Ahmed is the Malaysian Environment Minister.
One of the challenges that we've been facing is the fact that our recycling rate has been quite low. And, you know, we have quite an established plastics industry. This meant that until today, we still have a sizable part of our plastic industry which depends on imported plastics, of which partly is legal and they have permits for imports, but some are also importing it illegally.
Who are the big offenders?
I mean, a lot of the developed world, including the US, EU, including Japan.
I mean, are they doing enough to tackle smuggling coming into your country?
Well, the EU has, they are looking at stopping plastic exports to non-OECD countries. That is something that is positive and hopefully will be truly effective.
For the other countries, I mean, you know, we've been hoping that they can also play a more active role, because we see that they were sent to a sort of recycling center in the developed world, and then these centers then push it out to the developing world illegally.
Well, I want to talk about your enforcement because, for example, I visited a microplastics dump. You know, the locals were complaining about the burning, for example, impacting their health. It seems to happen with impunity, and there's a real lack of enforcement or penalizing any of the waste criminals.
Yeah, that is why one of the things that we have done is that we've increased the penalty for environmental crimes under amendments which were passed by Parliament this year to $2 million. We've also introduced for certain environmental crimes mandatory imprisonment up to 5 years. So that's why we are serious about it.
So some campaigners here have said that these are human rights violations and that Malaysia is a victim of waste colonialism. Is it as serious as that?
I would say that it is. All countries should treat the waste within their boundaries as much as possible.
Well, you say that. Then are you going to ban foreign waste imports?
We have to work on stepping up enforcement with regards to the illegal waste coming in and reduce the plastic waste coming in.
That's all from this edition of Assignment with me, Liana Hosea.